The following message is brought to you by Christian Sermons Online, broadcasting Christ-centered messages around the world 24 hours a day. Check us out at christiansermonsonline.com.
The word of the Lord promises that if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. So join evangelist Jimmy Swaggart for the next hour as he boldly proclaims salvation through Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, from Atlanta, Georgia, what God has related to me about the future. Join the many thousands already gathered at the Omni as our service begins.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Ann Peluso, Jesus is coming, and He's coming very, very soon.
Possessions, don't wanna hold on to them. Meet you over there in that hole. Glory! God's own son will be that leading one at that meeting in the air. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Glory be to Jesus. You may be seated if you can. The only thing that really matters is Jesus Christ living within our hearts, living within our lives. Let Jesus be Jesus in me.
No. Jesus. Be Jesus in me. No longer me, but only thee.
Resurrection power, fill me with sorrow. Jesus, in me.
Oh, be Jesus, oh, in me.
From the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, evangelist Jimmy Swaggart looks at the end time prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ as he reads from the book of Matthew.
Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight, please, to the book of St. Matthew. The book of St. Matthew, I'm reading from the 24th chapter. Probably in the entirety of the Word of God, at least one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" I want to use for a subject tonight what God has related to me about the future. Some time ago, one of the pollsters in America contacted our office and asked if we wanted to participate in a poll that was going to be taken across America. In the poll, television ministries were going to be addressed. And we could participate in it if we desired, because they were going to make an attempt to find out what the people wanted of television ministries, quote unquote. They were talking to Donnie. Donnie answered them and said, "Sir, we are naturally interested in what the people want, but it has nothing to do with this ministry. We are here but for one purpose, and that is to say, thus saith the Lord, irrespective of what people may want." They said, "Well, surely you may want to guide your ministry according to their desires." He said, "No. We are not here to satisfy the ever-changing whims of man. But once again, we emphasize to say, thus saith the Lord." In this tremendously negative chapter of Matthew 24, as I was studying it the first part of this week, the Holy Spirit for several weeks had been dealing with my heart concerning
this service tonight, and the Lord started to direct me to some end time events that I will momentarily relate to you, things that He has given me over the past months. The entirety of the 24th chapter of Matthew, minus the first few verses, pertain to the end time that has not really yet arrived. It is beginning. It speaks of catastrophe. It speaks of horror of such magnitude that it defies description. Jesus said, great tribulation such as the world has never known before and will never know again. The language and the terminology is so mind-boggling that it is difficult for one to grasp what is actually being said. It speaks of nation rising against nation, wars and rumors of wars. It speaks of famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And it says these are the beginning of sorrows. It speaks of false Christ and deception like the world has never known before pertaining to spiritual things. It speaks of a bloodletting. It speaks of the situation becoming so terrifying, so terrible, and so horrible. Jesus said that except the days be shortened, that no flesh would be saved, the entirety of the human race would be killed, slaughtered. And that is so shocking. And I don't like to talk about it, but important enough that I feel I must say it again. He said in the 21st verse, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, this is what I believe God gave me. The first is preliminary. It is obvious. This was not by revelation. It's just there in the book. He said in the sixth verse, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he goes on to give a cacophony of other end time cataclysmic, catastrophic events. But he said this, a strange term, see that ye be not troubled. Now that's the first point of this little message tonight. He said in the midst of all of this cataclysmia and all of this horror, see that ye be not troubled. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ. He's saying, don't get your eyes on this world. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Get your eyes on me. See that ye be not troubled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand me? You understand the import of it? I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you things are going to get better and better. Really, the book says things are going to get worse and worse. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse and worse. 50% of the nations of the world right now are at war. Think of that. Wars and rumors of wars. $1.5 million every minute that goes by is spent on weapons in this world. Every 60 seconds, $1.5 million spent on weapons heading toward Armageddon. And in the midst of all of this, he says,
Hallelujah. See that ye be not troubled. See that you be not troubled. We're receiving more letters today from all over the world, from people telling us of salvation experiences, of the worst cases that you could ever begin to imagine that we have received in all the history of this ministry. I mean, the worst kind of drug addicts. I mean, the worst kind of alcoholism. I mean, the worst kind of Satan worship. The very worst that hell can do. But the letters are coming in. This is an example. Every salvation experience, remember this, is a miracle. Every single salvation experience is a miracle. Every last one of them. I met a man tonight that got saved just a few hours ago. His salvation is a miracle. Hallelujah. A letter came in. This is commiserate of what we're receiving. Brother Swaggart, my brother, was on heroin, and they tell us there are no 30-year-old heroin addicts. When I read that headline in a newspaper, I blanched because it didn't seem right. There are no 30-year-old heroin addicts. They all die before 30 years old if they stay on heroin. She said, my brother had taken every cure, gone to every chemical dependency unit he could go to. There was no hope. And finally, in desperation, I don't know what that would be like. God forbid that I ever know. God forbid that you know, but I'm concerned that many of you watching by television, that you sit there and you look at the bareness of a room that is empty. Your life is wasted. The needle tracks run like crow's feet down your arms. And there is nothing left but death. Death breathes on you. It stalks you. It trails you. You wake up at night in a cold sweat and you can't quit. I have no words of condemnation for you. Please listen to me. I don't have one word of condemnation for you. My master said I didn't come to condemn, but I came to save and to set the captive free. Hallelujah. 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 The world may turn you down. But Jesus said, if you'll come to him, you're good enough to belong to his church. Hallelujah. Well, glory! She said, he was taking a screwdriver, running down the street. It was over. It was gone. There was no more hope. He was plunging that screwdriver into his chest, trying to kill himself. And somebody grabbed him and pulled it out of his bloody hands and the blood pouring, and they rushed him to the hospital. And the doctor said, there's no hope. He lay there with tubes running into him, and he was dying. She said, Brother Swaggart, I stepped out of the room for a few moments. She said, I can't tell you what happened. But I know because I ask. No doctor went into that room and no nurse went into that room. But when I came back in, the TV was on and I left, it was off, and he was tied to the bed. And she said, you were on. And you pointed that finger right through that set and said, Jesus Christ is your answer. She She said, when I came back in, she said, when I came back in, I would have given anything in the world if I'd been there, but I'd stepped out for 5 minutes. But I can't explain it. There's no way words can explain it. The doctor shook their head and said, it's a miracle. But my brother was totally healed and delivered from the time I walked out of that room and walked back into it. And today, he's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, totally free. I give you Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not troubled. We've got the greatest gospel man has ever known. I'm not troubled. I'm not troubled about my little grandkids. They're going to make it. Because they're committed to Jesus Christ. They're going to make it. They're going to preach the gospel of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if Jesus tarries. Don't be troubled about your children. If you give them to Jesus, hold to that hand. Get closer to God than you've ever gotten before. A storm is coming on this world, but crowd in close to Him. I mean, the day, now listen carefully to me, because the Holy Spirit says, say this. The day of lukewarm, inconsistent, lackadaisical, complacent Christianity, it's over. It's over. They're going to have to come to church. They're going to have to get in the altars. They're going to have to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get in. Go all the way. Support your church. Love your pastor. Pray for him. Hold him up before God. Get full of the Spirit, and God said, I'll see you through. I mean, drugs won't get your kids if you stay there in the altar, if you walk before them. All right. I want to show you the second positive word he said in the midst of all of this hell. It's in the 14th verse, and he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's one of the most powerful statements you've ever heard in all of your life. And this gospel, what kind of gospel? Not the weak-kneed, watered-down, emaciated, Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips, half of the Bible ripped out kind of gospel. But he said, this gospel, what kind of gospel is he talking about? The gospel of salvation by the blood of Jesus, the gospel of the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, the gospel of divine healing by the power of God, the gospel of the miracle working power of Almighty God, and the gospel that Jesus is coming again. This gospel shall be preached. Shall be. He didn't say it will if. Islam says it's okay. Or if our communist friends become acquiescent toward it. He said it's going to be preached. Now let me tell you what God has told me. On July the 1st of 1985, I was praying. A Monday morning, it was about 9 o'clock. I had been studying the Word. I closed it. I was in my car, left it, started to walk down a roadbed. It was out in the country. And after walking for about 10 minutes, the Spirit of God covered me. To make it very brief, I saw in a vision that God gave me, I saw a field. It was a field of cotton. It was so white, it was like a ball of white. And as I was standing like I was standing here, looking at it in this direction, spanning out over the horizon as far as the eye could see in every direction, I've never seen such cotton, such a harvest. It seemed like the whole thing was a ball of white. And I wondered in my vision why the white, because I'd always pictured the harvest as a wheat field. And Christian. But I saw the white, and then Jesus and John said the fields are white unto harvest. I saw two mechanical cotton pickers in the distance. And as I was standing here looking to my left, there was the angriest, most horrifying storm that I have ever seen as it was billowing up. I've never seen such black, angry clouds. The lightning was rolling and flowing through those clouds with jagged forks, bearing straight down upon the harvest. God told me, He said, that is the storm of judgment that's coming upon the world. But I am going to delay it for a period of time. I want you to take the gospel. I have many others, but I want you to take the gospel by television to every country in the world that will accept it. And he said this, he told me some things I can't tell you, but he said this, don't fail. Do not fail, do it immediately. Two weeks later, July the 14th, Family Worship Center, a prophecy was given that said, I have put the key in the lock and unlock doors that have been closed for centuries. Push them open. They are now unlocked. Reach out beyond the mortal thinking of man and go out to where God is. Believe me, he said, as you have never believed me before. I will open the minds of kings. On August the 24th in 1986 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was a Sunday. We were there in crusade. I had gone to pray that Sunday morning at about 10 o'clock. I still see where I was. The presence of God started to cover me. The Lord said, I am in some of these foreign countries going to fill as many or more than 10,000 people with the Holy Ghost in one single service. I am going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. In one service, I remind you, this is what some said was a fad and would be gone in a short time. But he said, in one service, I will fill over 10,000 with the Holy Ghost. On September the 6th, 1986. We have prayer meeting in our church every Saturday night before the Sunday services. I had gone to pray. I was so exhausted. I had not slept in about 7 to 2 hours. And when Francis said, are you going to prayer meeting tonight? I got up and the room whirled. And I thought I wouldn't even be able to dress, but I dressed and I went. And I was laboriously trying to pray. I was so weary. I was physically, mentally, psychologically, spiritually exhausted. I was walking up at the top balcony. There were about, I guess, 150, 200 people there. And the Spirit of God came all over me instantly. God said three things to me. He said, I am going to save millions of people in an end time revival that the world has never known before. Even more than millions, I am going to save tens of millions. Tens of millions. I am going to unlock Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is going to have revival such as it has never known before. I'm going behind the Iron Curtain, behind the bamboo curtain. You can talk about what God said to me all day, but if it doesn't come to pass, this is coming to pass. He said millions and millions are going to be saved. Tens of millions are going to be saved. Believe me for millions. I remember where I was when he told me. The exact spot where I was standing in the church, and I started to sob. And I started to cry. I said, God, where are the preachers? My God, help us, where are the preachers? There's a drought of preachers in our nation. No. We've got more preachers than we've ever had before, but no preachers. Preachers, I say it with humility to you. Stand behind your pulpit, fresh from the prayer closet, fresh from an endowment of power from on high, with the filling of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hold up the word of Almighty God. The human heart is not concerned about golf games or bowling games or the stock market or anything else, or who won the pennant or who won the championship, but give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost, Jesus heals, Jesus performs miracles, and Jesus is coming again. And preach this mighty gospel like you've never preached it before. My God, help us. Help us. This is the greatest message that man has ever known in all of his history. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Preach Jesus. Give them Jesus. Give them the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the fairest of 10,000. A lady walked up to me just this week. She introduced herself, a very lovely lady. She said, Jimmy Swaggart, you would never look at me and tell it, but just a few months ago I was a drunk, an alcoholic, and you were number one on my hit list. I hated you. Said, the day that I really hated you was when you told me that alcoholism was not a disease, it is a sin. She said, I had hidden behind my disease for years and I was dying and going to hell and my home was gone and everything was shot to hell. She said, I walked over to that TV set and I turned it off so loud till I almost broke the knob. Bam! But she said, when I walked back and the screen was black and you were gone, but what you preached was still here. Hallelujah. Tears rolling down her cheeks. She said, thank you, you preached the truth. Thank you, you preached the truth. I know you caught flack. I know half the church has got on your back, but keep preaching it. I'm free tonight. I'm free today because of the word of Almighty God. I said, God, where are the preachers? If everybody in town loves your pastor, oh, he's a member of the Catch 'Em All Club and the Whodunit Club and the Civic Community Betterment, Growing Roses, Tulips and Lilies Club. And they wrote him up in the paper how that he's joining the Ecumenical Council and he is so loved.
Bureau thinks on the Council for Government Improvement, but it's fresh from the prayer closet, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of Almighty God, and listen to him preach the word without fear or without favor. My God, help us. My Lord, clap your hands. Stand up and shout. Say, Jesus is alive. We have something to shout about. If we have something to proclaim, we have something to sing about, we have something to lift up. It is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ought to be the happiest preachers on the face of the entire earth. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost, Jesus is coming again.
I said, God, where are the preachers? And I was sobbing. He said, I'm going to raise up the preachers. I'm going to fill them with my spirit. They are going to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. They are going to sound like a John the Baptist. I am going to raise them up. I will bring them up, fill them with my power, and all of hell will not be able to stand against them. On October the 19th, we were in Santo Domingo. This was as I preached this short time ago. I have never seen such crowds. They said the stadium had never been filled. It seated, how many thousand, Donnie? It seated 45,000. It had never been filled for anything in the history of the Dominican Republic. The first night, even though it rained for 15 minutes, open air stadium, for 15 minutes before the service started, there were 48,000 people there. Saturday night, it started raining right in the middle of the message. Right in the middle of the message, and it seemed to me that the Lord got angry at Satan for letting it rain. The rain stopped after about 5 minutes, and I have never in my life seen a stadium. We had nearly 60,000 there Saturday night. I've never had an outdoor stadium almost get out of hand. I almost lost it. Nearly 60,000 people shouting the praises of Almighty God. Like a wave of glory swept that place. Sunday night, a cloud came up. Nearly 70,000 people there. They were seated all over the ground. Seated all over the ground. No chairs. Just seated on the ground beside the stadium itself full. The cloud came right there. A few drops of rain fell, and it was like the Holy Ghost. We're going to show it to you on television a little bit. The Holy Spirit, like he put his hand and stopped it and said, no further. I bowed my head to give the altar call, and I never was able to give the altar call. Between 10 and 15,000 people running to come to Jesus. The reason why I had closed with the message, with the word, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God told me Sunday morning before that Sunday night service. He said, cancel most of the crusades in the USA and triple the crusades in foreign countries, Africa, Asia, the islands of the sea, Europe, Central America, South America. And he told me something else. I am going to send a revival of healing
of miracles. Many talk about them, but I'm going to send them. Men will say Bible days are here again. God also told me I will open the doors of countries that have been closed. It is their turn now. Now, that's what's going to happen. Some bad things are going to happen, but I'm going to look to that good. And this is what Jesus told me to tell them. This is the third point in this little message, and I'm going to quit. Some of you are getting kind of punch drunk. In this plethora of doom, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 30th verse says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." He said, you tell them in Africa. We've already booked 2 crusades in West Africa. You tell them in South America. We've already booked the largest stadiums in the world, seating over 200,000 people in Brazil. You tell them in Europe. You tell them in Asia. Tell them I'm sick of the famine. I'm sick of the pestilence. I'm sick of the dictators. I'm sick of man's inhumanity to man. I'm sick of the hunger. I'm sick of the starvation. I'm sick of the death and dying. Tell them, don't look to the nations of the world or to America for their help, but look to me. I am coming soon. That's the third thing. He said, I'm coming. I am coming. Don't let any preacher tell you he isn't coming. Don't let the devil tell you he isn't coming. The skies are about to burst. Jesus Christ is soon to come. I know what I'm talking about. We're living in the most momentous time the world has ever known. Think of what I'm telling you. In these crusades overseas, it's going to shake entire nations. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul called it that blessed hope. Now, last of all, I don't have the time to elaborate on that. I've run out of time. 35th verse. The last thing in the positive vein that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What I have said, I will do. I want to close with this. I want to show you how exact that word is. And how it cannot fail. How it's impossible to fail. In 1940, a long time ago, I was 5 years old. The night my daddy came to Jesus, he was one of the hardest men. No one thought he would come. But he stepped out that night under mighty and powerful Holy Ghost conviction. His closest friend, a businessman, wealthy, both of them in business together, under the same kind of Holy Ghost conviction, mighty, powerful conviction, so strong the man was shaking. He wouldn't come. When my dad got up from those altars with a puddle of tears left there, and Jesus had come into his heart,
The first man that he saw was his friend, his business partner. He was weeping. He threw his arms around my dad and pulled him tight, weeping and sobbing. And my dad said, why don't you come? He said, I can't. It was almost like a door closed. This man that had as great a business sense as any man my dad knew, lost it. Business after business after business after business went. I'm making it very brief. He started to drink very heavily. He drank so much and stayed in a stupor of drunkenness for months at a time until his eyes, you've seen them when they're on the edge of death and their eyes are running water continually. 24 hours a day, running water. Red, dying, his mind went. I remember I was about 6 years old when we went to the funeral of his little boy. The little boy was about 4 years old. He had a hair of black ringlet curls on his head. And it seemed that this is all the father loved anymore. The other sons had gone to hell and back. One of them was to go to the penitentiary, and that little fella was his life. And the baby died. And I stood there with my eyes big, and it was such a striking, startling, dramatic thing that I will never forget it. I saw him as he looked into the casket, my dad trying to comfort him, but it was no use, and he was hitting the side of it with his fist and cursing God. It scared me. I was 6 years old, but I was scared. I was trembling. I never heard anything like that. Cursing God, you took my baby. I've got nothing left. A beautiful home gone. Business after business gone, and we were in a shack. And the casket sat in the living room. And that little fellow with his black curls lay against the pillow. And he was hitting the side, his father, and looking up and cursing and saying, I hate you, God. Using the foulest, most horrifying language. What little was left of his mind went. I would see him, and my dad, if he ever prayed for a man, he prayed for this man. My dad would weep for him. He lost his cars, he lost his trucks, he lost everything he had, and you would see him stumbling along the side of the road, cursing. Constantly. This was not just one occasion. This went on for years. Cursing. Just a rolling stream of vitriolic, vituperatory venom that spilled of every profanity, cursing God. I would hear him sometimes when I would pass him, and I was a child, 7, 8, 9 years old, and I would hear him cursing God for every foul thing. This went on for years. My dad would pick him up, try to talk to him. It seemed to be no hope, no use. God said, though, my word will not fail. Lester Summerall, I received a letter from him just last week. His sister and his mother were the first ones to bring the gospel to our town in 1938. I was 3 years old. The first message ever heard, this man that I've been talking about heard Leona Summerall preach. She was just a girl, 17 years old then. She came back through town. This was about 1945. Miracle of miracles, when she came to the intersection of the town, she saw my uncle. I was born in his home in 1935, March 15th. He had provided the funds for her to build the church. And she stopped the car and he stopped his, and with several of them. And in the course of the conversation, she asked, "How is," and called his name. He said, "At this moment, he's dying. Right now, he may even be dead in another hour, but he's dying right now." She said, "What? He never made it in. Did he make it in? Did he make it?" He said, "No. He went out of his mind. He can't, he doesn't even know what his name is." She said, "How do I get to his house?" He said, "I'll take you." She walked in. He was laying on the bed. She walked up and got his hand and said, "Do you know me?" And in a moment's time, the mind cleared. She said, "I'll call him Bill." It wasn't his name. "Bill, it's over now. He's been calling you for a long, long time. But time has run out. And in a few moments, the tears were rolling down his cheeks. And a God that he had cursed for 5 years, and cursed him, and cursed him, and cursed him, and cursed him, reached down his hand and picked him up and washed him and cleansed him. You say, "I don't understand that. I don't understand it either. Who can understand the love of God? Who can understand the love of God? Who can understand amazing grace? I'm telling you, he loves you. I don't care what you've done, who you are, he loves you." Right now, this moment, while I stand here, he's standing at the portals of glory. How do you know he made it? Because this book says, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. My word will not fail. He said, "Don't be troubled. This gospel will be preached. I'm coming again, and my word will not fail." Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you so much. I don't know the hearts, the lives of the people that are here tonight, and the millions that watch by television, but thou knowest. Now I need for you tonight to open the door. We have put the key in the lock and turned it, the keys to the kingdom. And I'm praying they'll come home. They'll come home. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. In just a few moments' time, they're going to sing, "There's Room at the Cross for You." But I want to know in this Coliseum right now, on the main floor, how many? Jimmy Swaggart, I'm not saved. I'm not in that ark of safety. I don't know him as my redeemer. I need prayer. Pray for me. Would you slip up that hand? I will not embarrass you, I promise. There's a man, a lady, others. Keep raising them on the main floor. Thank you. All right, I want everyone to stand. Everybody standing in this entire audience. Everyone standing. I know there are hundreds, even thousands of people here that really know how to pray. I know that. You know how to touch God. I want you to pray right now. I want you to believe God with me. God, the Holy Ghost, the High Sheriff of Heaven, is going to reach out and touch these people. And I want you to come and stand right here. I want you to come and stand right here. Every one of you that raised your hands, and even many of you that didn't, but God is speaking to your heart. It's time. I want you to come. They're going to sing it. Husband, bring your unsaved wives. Wives, bring unsaved husbands. Children, bring unsaved parents. Parents, bring unsaved children. Christians, bring unsaved friends. Bring them down these aisles as they sing it right now.
There's room. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room.
Come on, he told me to tell you that he loves you.
Yes, there's room at the cross.
Sing that verse, sing it now, please.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
The cross upon which Jesus died
is a shelter in which we can hide.
Lady, he loves you.
And
he loves you. Come on, we're waiting.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Though millions have come,
though millions,
there is still room for one.
There is still room for one.
There is room at the cross.
Yes, there's room.
How sweet that sound.
It was amazing grace. How sweet that sound.
I've saved a wretch like me. you to look at Brother Swaggart for just a moment. Those of you by television, I want you to listen very attentively, please, for just a few moments. I wish I had the vocabulary to tell you what really is going to take place within your heart and within your life. But every time I do this, I feel that I fail. But it's really not my place anyway. His Spirit is going to come into your heart. If you believe it, young man, the devil wants to kill you, and he will, but you come tonight to Jesus. He alone can save you because he loves you. He loves you. There are no requirements. Just believe. I've prayed with millions. I think I can say that without exaggeration. I've prayed with millions. And now I want to pray with you. You by television as well. That this is going to be the greatest moment you've ever known. Not because you're here, I'm here, we're together, but because Jesus is going to come into your heart and into your life. You'll never be the same again. You're going to change masters tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads, please. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray. I want you to repeat it with me, and I want you to believe it. You may not understand it, but just believe it with all of your heart. Now let us pray. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
I'm tired of sin.
I'm tired of sin.
And the ways of the world.
And the ways of the world.
I need help.
I need help.
I need God.
I need God.
I need Jesus. I am asking tonight. That the shed blood. Of Jesus Christ. Would cleanse me. From all sin. According to your word. In the book of Romans chapter 10. With my mouth. I confess. The Lord Jesus. In my heart. I believe. That God raised Jesus from the dead. And he's alive. Right now. Forever. I accept. Jesus Christ. As my Savior. I believe. He comes into my heart. I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. I am saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. All of you by television, and I believe thousands and thousands and thousands have come to the Lord. I want you to write me. You can see the address right there on the screen, and I want to send you this little book. You've seen me offer it many, many times, but this time it's for you. There's a new name written down in glory. Congratulations, you found the answer. You found the Lord. Praise God.
Congratulations are in order for the instant you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. He became Lord of your life, and he loves you. There is a scripturally based booklet which Brother Swaggart has prepared entitled, There's a New Name Written Down in Glory, which will help you in your new walk with the Lord. This booklet contains information on daily Bible reading, church attendance, the will of God for your life, and more.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then little light from heaven filled my soul. It filled my heart with love, then it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. They're gone at last,
gone at last.
They're gone at last.
Gone at last.
All of my sins, they're gone at last. I've had a long streak of
bad time.
My sins, they are gone at last. That saved a wretch like you and me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, praise God, I can see. Oh, they're gone at last,
gone at last,
gone at last.
Gone at last.
All of my sins, they're gone. Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. They're gone at last.
Gone at last.
Gone at last.
Gone at last.
All of my sins, they are gone at last.
I've had a long
streak of
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For further information and to discover other sermons, visit us at christiansermonsonline.com.